How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Knox Manning in Hollywood, taking you on another brief journey behind the scenes. Once again, we draw aside the curtain on a fragment of forgotten drama, a story of people and places already hidden in the background of destiny. Today, a tragic moment in the career of one of our most famous Americans, a split moment in which he had to decide whether to kill a man or be killed in turn. But first, a word from a familiar voice. There's a man who knows what he's talking about. Now step with me behind the scenes to a night in April 1918, a cold, blustery night when the wind moaned through the dilapidated buildings of the Brooklyn waterfront and hurled waves of rain over the worn cobblestones. Suddenly, over the wail of the wind, sounded a human scream, and a boy, hatless, coatless, water cascading down his white face, burst from a dark alleyway. He looked wildly up and down the street. There, a block away, beneath the blur of a streetlight, he saw the glistening black sheen of a policeman's cape. Shouting incoherently, the boy raced toward the suddenly tense figure. A huge hand grasped the boy's arm, and a handsome young Irish face bent over him. "Sure, boy, sure, and get hold of yourself. What is it?" The boy's trembling grew less violent, and he was able to sob, "It's Dad. He's drunk. He's going to kill Ma." The boy turned and ran back down the street, and right behind him splashed the big policeman. The policeman couldn't believe that this was he. He'd been on the force only a short while, and this was the first time he'd ever taken a gun from its holster. He, who once had studied for the priesthood, a gentle Irishman who loved poetry and people, and pulling a gun for possible use against a fellow human. But there was no time for thought. The boy was pulling him toward narrow, rickety stairs. The policeman raced up the stairs and threw open the door. He had a blurred recollection of fetid, whiskey-laden air rushing at him from a room whose faded wallpaper hung in strips, a terrorized woman kneeling in supplication in a corner, a burly man in a dirty undershirt whirling to face the door, thick stubble on a face distorted in rage, bloodshot eyes burning with alcoholic insanity. The man's arm swept in an arc toward the policeman, and in the hand was the glitter of a gun. It was one life or the other. Without being conscious of pulling the trigger, the policeman heard his gun blast once, then twice. The mad light died from the man's eyes, and he slumped to the floor. The policeman stood transfixed, looking at the man he'd just killed, and a sickness surged within him. All his life he'd dreamed of coming to the United States, of taking his part in the American dream, and here he stood holding a smoking gun over the body of a man he'd just killed. And standing frozen with terror was a small, pitifully sodden boy whom he'd just made an orphan, and the policeman vowed that he himself would take the place of the father he'd killed. Now, before the conclusion of our story, a word from your announcer. For the policeman, the years eased the bitterness of this experience. He studied and became a lawyer, then a judge, and in time his city conferred upon him its greatest honor. Meanwhile, he provided for the boy whose father he'd been forced to kill, saw that he received an education, secured the boy an appointment on the police force. And when that dapper young policeman comes into his benefactor's office, there's great pride in his voice as he says, "I want to see my best friend, William O'Dwyer, mayor of the city of New York." Yes, Mayor William O'Dwyer, who once as a common policeman had to make a tragic decision which time mercifully has withdrawn behind the scenes. And now this is Knox Manning inviting you to join me tomorrow at this time in another journey into that dim half-light where chance and destiny lift men out from behind the scenes. This is a Hamilton Whitney radio production, transcribed in Hollywood.